That is a tricky one, right? Not to oversteer and maybe take a curve, a turn, right? But then you get back to that path. So what I try to do is I try to mitigate. And when I'm doing that listening tour or identifying key stakeholders, it's who are those stakeholders that are the squeaky wheel? Because you can tell those people right away.
Welcome to Modern Business Operations, where we talk with leaders about how ops is adapting to our modern world.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Modern Business Operation. My name is Sagi. I'm the CEO and founder of Tonkin. And today I have the pleasure to host Joaquin, Director of Procurement at AlphaSense.
Thanks for having me. Really appreciate your time and everybody's time here.
So you're currently at AlphaSense, but you have a lot of experience with massive enterprises, small folks like Nokia and Verizon and Microsoft and JP Morgan. Why don't you give us a high-level background and just how you got to procurement and how you got to your role?
I've been in procurement for 20, 25 years now, and from Fortune 50 companies to medium-sized companies, but mainly in the large enterprise companies. And I'm just very interested in procurement. And my story behind that is my father, he liked to take us traveling, you know, global traveler. And so when we would go into a country where you actually bargain for things, he was the number one bargainer. And my mother was always embarrassed by him when we went somewhere. And so she would walk away and my dad would walk away in earnest. And then they would all follow him out the door. And I kind of learned how to talk to people, deal with people at that level. And then I just raised that bar, made it much more sophisticated when companies and understanding kind of the psychology around what people are after.
That's awesome. Yeah, definitely some place in the world, the bargaining and negotiation is a national sport.
Just very quickly, I was just in Turkey and I was negotiating for something. And they asked you, where are you from? And I'm from the U.S. And he said, oh, the U.S., they don't bargain. What are you doing?
It's exactly right. It's a cultural thing and definitely not very common in the U.S., but for a lot of places in the world, it's like you go to the flea market and you're going at it. No, that's great. That kind of led you to procurement. You mentioned smaller companies you worked at. Maybe let's start there. What is the common difference when you look at your experience in big companies in those Fortune 100 compared to how you would look at building from the bottom up an organization in a smaller company?
Sure. It's very common in larger companies when you have more folks and you're in management, you're going to be managing people, right? In a smaller company, you may be managing people, but you're going to be managing the process. You're going to be hands-on. You're going to be rolling up your sleeves. And I enjoy rolling up my sleeves. You know, I've come full circle. My best experiences in the beginning of my career were at a small investment banking company supporting Silicon Valley out of San Francisco. And one of the investment bank companies I was with, called Montgomery Securities, was eventually bought by Bank of America, became B of A Securities. But I was hired as the IT procurement manager, and the CIO that I reported to, I looked at the way we did things, wrote policy around how we should manage the IT space. But at the same time, I decided to write a paper on how we should manage the entire procurement for the whole company. And so he gave that to our CFO, and Bo asked me if I wanted to be the director of procurement. I said, sure, that sounds great, Bernie. That's really how I broke into more of the executive management side. You can quickly go up in a smaller company if you know are hitting the talking to the right people, and you can usually talk to the right people very quickly.
I like you the way you described the whether you're managing the people and only managing the people or managing the people and managing the process. But it's funny when you think about it, you can also read it as the opposite. In the enterprise, there's a lot more process outside of your own team to just get your process going. How do you compare that to now, you know, in retrospect, having the experience on both? Where is it easier or where do you find more exciting to be a leader? In a smaller company with a smaller footprint or in a bigger company?
Yeah, and that leads back to where I was saying about coming full circle. So I'm back at a smaller company in AlphaSense, where I'm really able to bring my experience to bear from, you know, the large enterprise and then write the policies and procedures around what I think best practices are, and then leave that footprint and talk to and collaborate with both the executives and management. We can really focus on what they're looking at. One of the first things I did, and I do if I go to a smaller company, is I go on a listening tour, and you should do that in any company anyway, large or small, that know who those key decision makers are and those key internal stakeholders are for your company. And so really get an audience with them and really listen to what they have to say. Because you can go in there armed with data and like who they spend with and who their suppliers are, but you really want to open up for a dialogue like we're having now and listen to what they say. Because if you come in with telling them what you think, sometimes it closes their ears very quickly, and you don't want that to happen. As a matter of fact, at Microsoft, one of my first experiences was going in and meeting with a P&L owner. He owned that budget for that department. And the first thing a couple of them said to me is, well, what can you do for me? What do you want me to do for you? What are you trying to accomplish? What are your critical areas? What bothers you? Let me figure out if I can help you in those different areas. It happened to me a couple of times for sure, but it's then getting through how you can help them in the long run and the short run. And so the short run is where you gain their trust, and then you can move on from there.
I think it's a critical point, because several years ago, I've been talking a lot about the machines that builds the machine, you know, so like the back operations and departments that really what drives the machine. And what I find interesting is that there's a lot of parts of that machine that still, in many cases, needs to sort of like prove their own value, right? Just you described, it's like, what can you do for me? Okay, I got it, but what is that role help me do? And what it's interesting is that when you're in a small company, the focus is very much on the whatever service or product you're doing in the revenue model. And in a big company, there's a lot more of that operation, but there's too much of it. And so people are still unclear of who's doing what and why. And I think to be effective, to actually bring value, you have to play the role of also educating at a time. And collaborating in a sort of educational way, which is not only transactional, but really build a relationship. And so this is a really good point that I think is a good takeaway for people, is really not only preaching the strategic part of it, but also like, what is the immediate things that you can help? Because that's, you're going to build the trust.
That's exactly right. And when I build the new department out, I bring three pillars for myself, three pillars to the table. One is policy and process. You have to have some policy around and process around what you do, that governance. But my CFO here is, and I quoted this and I use this in all of my presentations now, is that we want governance without bureaucracy. That's a hard thing to do. It is because people have just view that, oh, you're going to change something. You know, I have to do this. I have to fill out a form now. They look at that and say, that's bureaucratic. My North Star here is we're all growing the same way because we want our company to go IPO, right? 12 to 24 months, that's our North Star. So I bring that to the table as well, right? What common goals do we have? Well, we know we have that big common goal. How do we get there? And how I get there is building these pillars, the policy and process, and then technology is another pillar. And that technology can be what you bring in from a procurement perspective, but for I look at now is the orchestration software that you bring to the table as well. So you can connect to all your pertinent systems, be it finance, be it HR, be it your HRIS system, your IT ticketing system, you have single sign-on, BI that you have to connect to, CLM, contract, the lifecycle management system that you want to connect to as well, if you have one existing already. So all that pertinent information, all that data, because it's all always based on data and how good is your data. And then my last one is people. So it can be not just the people that you hire, but your collaboration to the people that you're talking to and you're partnering with them. So the first thing I look for when I'm hiring somebody for procurement is, do they have the foundational? Can they negotiate contracts? Do they understand procurement really now? And almost my number one is, how good are they at collaborating, communicating with people? Because we don't partner with those folks who are spending the money and dealing in these contracts and with these suppliers, you're not going to win their trust and you're not going to get that proverbial seat at the table. So I look for, you know, people who can really communicate and collaborate and then understand on a business side how to get the transaction done from both the supplier side and internally.
Well, I cannot agree more, right? It's such a good mapping of everything. I love government without the bureaucracy tidbit. I think it's very true.
This episode is brought to you by Tonkin. Tonkin is the operating system for business operations, providing businesses with the building blocks to orchestrate any process with no code or change management required. Contact us at tonkin.com to learn how you can build complex processes fast.
But you're right. It's too often thought in a silo where every part of the team, the greater teams, need to row together kind of thing. Those old methodology, it would see them printed on a wall, rowing team trying to row together at the same time. But really, it's not about that. It's not about just doing things in the same way or at the same time. It is how do you leverage each other and a little bit more like a football team than it is a rowing team. Right, where everyone has their own role, but you really need to understand and communicate that role and be able to communicate together to like block and tackle and create a space for each other to forward. So I think there's a lot of wisdom there. If someone listened to it right now and they're trying to grow their team, maybe they're in that situation where there's this moment where your company, your organization grows and passes a certain threshold in which before that everyone knew everyone. It was the management layer was obviously there, but everyone had like a very easy way to kind of like influence things. And then it's almost like a moment in time where it's just the last person, the one more person that joined, and all of a sudden now there's like more red tape, more bureaucracy. Even though it might be the same thing, it just feels more like a bureaucracy. How do you think about that?
Yeah, so that's really interesting because that's what I'm doing right now. Almost. I mean, it's probably past that point, but if people have been at the company 2 or 3 years, which is a long time in the startup mentality, that means they're used to doing things a certain way. When they're bringing somebody like me in, they want to build scalable processes. When you grow more exponentially, those processes will still be able to stay intact and you'll still be able to have time to market because that's what everybody cares about, is as quick to market as possible. Get that contract signed because, hey, you know, I made a decision. We need to sign that contract. We need that application or that service pronto. Let's go back to planning. So planning was the key. You know, one of the reasons why you're there, maybe you have a great service or product, is because you plan also. And so planning is the key to this. And so if you've done that before, you can continue to plan. Just plan in advance, put it into system, let us be aware of it, what suppliers we're looking at, because when you grow globally and we're global, everybody's doing something a little bit different. You might be dealing with the same supplier, and suppliers love to divide and conquer. That's what they're very, very good at. In my estimation, it's really, okay, went from the wild, wild west. Let's still have you do what you do well, but make sure it's now, you know, you're looking at, okay, you have SOX compliance, right? Like you have regulatory compliance, you have auditors. You need to really be set up as a well-run business. And these are some of the processes that we need to put in place to build those, continue to be a well-run business, but be scalable at the same time.
And then that sort of like change in culture or in like expectations, how do you compare it to, because like change management as a whole is obviously a whole thing that is very, and it's very, anyone that worked with or at a big enterprise knows how much that is sort of the key point of any progress you want to make. You need to manage change because people have done things, like you said, for so long. And here it is a similar thing, right? Your reaction was similar that people have done that for several years. It's almost like the opposite, right? It's like moving from a wild, wild west to something that is more structured, where in big companies, everything's very, very structured, and you're trying to add some innovation, you're trying to add some flexibility. Is there any shared things you like saying, oh, this is actually the same, even though it's completely different, versus areas where, I've tried this because it worked in a big company and it completely flopped when it was a smaller company and so on.
So you're hitting on some of the foundational elements of numbers, because it's all in the data. Numbers may be bigger at bigger companies, but they're all the same. They're all relatively the same. $500,000 contract compared to a $50 million contract, it's still the same in the ratio and how important it is. Another common area is collaboration. You still have to collaborate with everybody. You have to educate folks along the way. And so when you talk about change management, that is key to any project management. When you're making changes, that whole box or that continuum of change management, who's part of that? When do you communicate it out? Who signed up on what? You know, you have to have that documented along the way. And then who are then those champions that are going to help you out as well? So identifying those champions, right? And that's what we did in Microsoft. That's what I do now. You identify folks who are going to help out on that process and get that communication out and be the key.
No, absolutely. You know, one more thing that I thought about while you were describing this is there's also this, from my experience, and I'm wondering if you experience the same thing, is that a lot of times when you go about changing stuff like that, so again, I'm going back to that point of the Wawa West, and you're trying to create scalable policies and structures to help scale. It's sort of like just a human nature to have that sort of side-to-side extreme reaction. So like hard left and now hard right, you know what I mean? Like you, something was very like one side and then you're trying to fix it, you oversteer to the other side and then you're trying to refine the balance. Is that something you can relate to?
You know, that you're so on point, because that is a tricky one, right? Not to oversteer and maybe take a curve, a turn, right? But then you get back to that path. So what I try to do is I try to mitigate. And when I'm doing that listening tour or identifying key stakeholders, it's who are those stakeholders that are the squeaky wheel? Because you can tell those people right away, right? Who's going to be the biggest complainers, and they have the ear of those executives or those decision makers. And that's where you want to, you know, put on the white gloves, right? You need the white glove treatment. And I think you need to be able to be savvy enough to identify those folks who, when you make that oversteer, you ask them to help you get back on track and you see where you can help them specifically in their group, because, you know, they usually have this high network, right, where people are listening because this person is shouting a lot. So let's make sure they're shouting something good, but it doesn't always work that way. But at least your intentions are there and you understand where to turn to when you need to.
It's influencers, right? And it's so funny that it really doesn't matter. We, you know, we've been talking about the procurement area, but really you can replace this with any other department. And you realize really it's all about people. And I couldn't help but thinking like how much, and this is a completely off-field comment, but how much I don't think education system really sort of like prepare people to be successful in their career, because it doesn't matter if you're in sales or in engineering or front of customers or back office or finance and legal and whatever profession this is, at the end of the day, the skill set of the day-to-day work and then everything else is just how to work with people, how to make things move, how to, like you just said, the example of who's the higher volume ones, how do I manage them? How do I, you know, sell to them, really? How do like there's some politics in it and there's some project management in it and there's some being outspoken and strategic about your, like if you're actually trying to make anything work. So it's not even about making innovation. You know, I think this is a super interesting takeaways, I think, for me too, but I'm sure for the listeners too, is how relatable this is, almost regardless of the functional unit you're in.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree with you more.
Well, I think with that, I think one something I like to ask a lot is there any advice you got early in your career that you feel like this is a good one to pay forward? Because as we just said, it's all relatable, right?
Yeah. And kind of alluded to it before. So one of my mentor, one of my first big executive bosses was the CFO at the investment banking company I was talking about, Montgomery Securities. And Bernie was like a big bear of a man, right? He was very large and very intimidating because everybody wore suits back then. And, you know, you go into his office and on his wall in his office was a bullwhip and a chain. He looks like he wanted externally to be that intimidating person. But when you start talking to Bernie, it turned out he was a bear, but he was a teddy bear. And he was the nicest, softest, most empathetic person you could meet as a CFO. You know, that kind of endeared me to him. And I would go on one-on-ones and all he would do is tell stories, either about his childhood or his business experience. But you're always learning something from Bernie every time. For me, it taught me to lead by example. And so I like to lead by example, set those guideposts, give people room to be successful and not to micromanage. Then you don't have to at all. You need to start trusting your people and hopefully they will be successful in turn because that makes you successful.
Awesome. I love it. I love the visual of it too. You know, Big bear. It's true. The story, it's like it resonates. You know, we think with our eyes a lot of times. I love it. It's a great advice. If anyone wants to reach out to you or chat about those things or learn, where would you find you? Is it in X or on LinkedIn or?
LinkedIn, best way to get a hold of me. Got my story there and feel free to, you know, reach out and contact me. I'm happy to meet.
Awesome. Well, Joaquin, thank you very much. That was fantastic. I appreciate your time.
All right. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of Modern Business Operations. You can see the show notes and all of the resources mentioned in today's episode at tonkin.com/mbopod. Thank you for listening and be sure to subscribe for updates on future episodes. And if you're interested in staying up to date on all things business operations, join the Tonkin community at tonkin.com/community.